Hello, guys. This is Abdullah. This podcast is a follow-up on our first class on week two. That was on Monday, or rather, sorry, Sunday. This basically is a synopsis of all the topics that we covered, so at least it will serve as a future review for you, and I'm sure it's going to be really useful for reference. First of all, we started introducing and talking about the purpose of the course, particularly the relevance of the course to technology and teaching, which is a very interesting blend. Basically, it's for teaching. We're focusing on technology, but then the technology that only is relevant to teaching, considering that you guys are future English teachers and will have to transfer this knowledge and this skill into actual classrooms. So we have to really think critically of how best we can integrate and use a number of tools that are available for us. A lot of them are for free, and carry them in order to shift and meet the changing learner. We also talked about the expectations. Individually, I asked each one of you to express your expectations. What are you expecting from the course? Many of you express different expectations, whether regarding to students or regarding to changing the teaching methodology or even regarding teachers' professional development. Most importantly, we don't want to forget that we're doing all of that, particularly this course, is just to meet the changing learner. This is something widely accepted, and most of the traditional classrooms are not useful that much for the changing learners. Now, we have this fact that we really need to deal with and need to seriously consider. Changing learners are learners who are called the native or the digital natives. Those are the ones that are born this generation. And of course, you can't approach them with the same way students 20 years or 5 years or even 10 years ago were approached. We'll have to integrate different tools of dealing with them. So the recent trends of integrating technology into classroom signified a shift from traditional learning to a more technology-aided teaching and learning. Through the process, we know that students changed from being mere receptive of knowledge, you know, in the traditional classrooms where students only rely on the teacher as one who imparts knowledge, to the idea of where students work together, probably in groups or peers, where they negotiate knowledge, where they negotiate meaning. And that's when the idea of project-based learning emerged. And basically that idea was based on the idea that students need to work together. They don't need only to memorize, but actually be involved in the learning experience, particularly in producing projects that show that they've learned and they've practiced all the skills and knowledge necessary. And then we moved from there to check out your knowledge of the field. I just wanted to check if you're up to date, your knowledge is up to date when it comes to technology and teaching. We talked about one of the first coinages, and that is the term call, which is followed by mall. By call refers to computer-assisted language learning, and more recent refers to mobile-assisted language learning. Those models signified a big change from traditional learning to more computer-oriented, where the focus is on using technology to aid language classroom learning. We also talked about different forms of, for example, distributed learning, and we related distributed learning as a more general concept that includes within face-to-face learning and e-learning. And we explained the difference between the face-to-face, which is more like traditional classroom-oriented, to the e-learning, an example of which would be online classes. And then the combination of both, the face-to-face and e-learning, would be the blended learning, where you have a bit of that and a bit of that. Distance education is an example of an e-learning oriented platform. All those forms, the blended learning and the face-to-face and the e-learning and also the distance learning, are referred to as distributed learning. Finally, we touched on a more recent emergent topic in the field, and that is referred to as MOOCs, the massive open online courses. And we mentioned that a lot of universities around the world provide those courses. Those are completely online. A lot of them are free to access, and you can register for free. You don't need to pay anything. And they're on a wide array of topics and interests. There is a lot available. You can just go and sign up for any course you like. You can join them. Some courses stretched for a period of 4 weeks. Some go longer, for like a semester. Duration and all those technical issues are expressed and detailed in those websites. We also give an example of that. That is Coursera.com. Coursera.com. This is an example of a platform for providing of MOOCs, providing a lot of courses, massive open online courses for free for any learners around the world. Above all, we concluded with a note that everything that is available for students and available for you as PhD teachers, consider it seriously. Think of the educational power and potential of all of those social networking tools that are available to you, most of which are for free. Think of their potential. How can you use them, and critically and practically, to create a different kind of learning opportunities for your students? Well, I hope this was not long. This was just meant to be a synopsis, a follow-up synopsis, so at least to help you put your ideas together. Except it for me. This is Abdullah, and see you in a follow-up coming podcast. Take care.